honor to God who's ahead of my life, to our deacons, mothers, everyone in their respective places. And man, I thank God for this opportunity to stand before you and speak God's word. Amen. Amen. Speaking the truth. Amen. The risen Savior who's now sitting at the right hand of power. Thank God for this day. Turn, if you will, to Matthew. Matthew 7th chapter, 24th verse, and I'm reading from the King James Version. When you have it, can you acknowledge by saying amen? Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Amen. For the reading, here's doers of our word. This is a parable of the wise and foolish builder. Jesus generally takes parables to basically give us an illustration of a deeper spiritual meaning. Jesus is speaking of the absolute necessity of building your life on the right kind of foundation, because the foundation is what holds everything up. It's what holds everything together. No matter what quality of materials you use, no matter how carefully you join the framework together, no matter how skilled the handyman or craftsman may be, if the foundation isn't solid and stable, your house will lack integrity. Over time, you will start to see cracks in the walls, and the windows will not shut like they should, and the roof will begin to leak, and sooner or later, the storms will bring it crashing down, and everything you worked hard for will be lost. Notice that there are only two builders that Jesus referenced in this scripture. Only two builders in this story. Only two alternatives. Okay? When it comes to matters of truth, there's only two options. You're either trusting in Jesus Christ, obeying his commandments, following his examples, or you're not. It's just that simple. One way leads to salvation. The other way leads to death and eternal destruction. Now, the world would have you to believe otherwise. The world says that there are many ways of being a spiritual person. In our culture, people tend to follow, listen to what I'm saying, follow a buffet approach of religion, picking and choosing elements from various traditions which they find personally meaningful. But God doesn't see it that way. According to the word of God, which is the Bible, that is God's word, there aren't many ways. There are only two ways. One way leads to life, the other way leads to death, period. Despite what you may hear, it's only two ways, life, death. One way leads to Jesus, the other way leads to destruction. Most of our various religions and philosophies in the world contain at least, listen to what I'm telling you, it contains at least a kernel of truth. The problem is that the kernel of truth are mixed in with a great deal of falsehood. Sometimes that falsehood is obvious and easy to discern, and sometimes it's not. But regardless, every other approach to life will eventually lead you astray. It will betray you, make you a fool, destroy you, because every other approach to life will lead you away from Christ and away from the truth. Not only are other religions and non-Christian philosophies unreliable, they're also unnecessary and we don't need it. So these two men, listen to this story. These two men had the same vision. They both wanted to build a house. Their dreams were the same. Their dreams and their desires were the same. But what makes these two men alike is that their view of the future was the same. Both wanted to build a house. The concept here that you need to understand of building a house would be to erect a life. Okay? A life worth living. To build a life that's significant, to build basically, to build a life that's significant. Now, we need to understand that when the reference a house is basically it's talking about building a strong foundation, a life. In other words, you need to understand something that when the Bible speaks of a house, it's talking about a life. Because we are basically people that are going to live in the home. So it's basically talking about a life worth building. You could relate it to basically, in other words, building a family or a strong household. The Church of Jesus Christ is called the household of faith. So we could apply it to basically building a ministry. Here's what you're building. Number one, you're building a life that God is proud of, that you're proud of, and then when you look back in it, you'll be glad about it. So you want a family that's strong and stable and vibrant and alive and committed. You don't see a lot of commitment these days. You don't see a lot of commitment. All you see is a bunch of people going here and there, this and that, doing this, because people like a variety. That's why you see a lot of people, they love buffets, because it gives them more options. People don't like to really commit, you know, or even on jobs. Y'all see people don't stay at jobs like they used to. That, I mean, those are, you know, they probably call you old-fashioned if you stay at a job more than 10 years. There's no commitment. So if you want a ministry that will stand the test of time, all of us fit into this brief story, both men and women. We all fit into this story. Both of these men had the same vision. A lot of us, church, can have the same vision, the same desires, but we go about it differently. Not only did both have the same vision, they both went to the same teaching. Because it says, both men heard these words of mine. Both men went to the same teaching and had the same teacher, because the written word was communicated by Jesus himself, who was the professor. Both men were oriented to listening to the divine truth. Both men were committed to making themselves available to the divine input. We're not talking about one man having a love for hearing the truth and another man a total distance, you know, from the truth. We're talking about both men availing themselves to the scripture. So the comparison between these two men is that they have the same vision. They want to see things rise from the ground and go higher, whether that be a life, a family, a ministry. They both wanted to erect a life, a family, and a ministry. Now, these men lived, and I know it doesn't say it, but you can just look at it and read. You can say that they lived in the same neighborhood. Now, because the reason why I say they live in the same neighborhood is because they was affected by the same storm. The description of the storm is precisely the same in both cases and affected both men. Both men were subject to the same storm, which meant they were in reasonable proximity to one another. Everybody here is affected by a storm in life. If you haven't been, just be ready because it's coming. The clouds are coming. It would be here. So everybody here is affected by the negative realities of life or ministry or family. It may not be the same, but one thing is true. We do get rained on at some point in time in our life. Life is not always about, you know, sunshine. Life is not always exciting. Life has its moments of tears. We all share the same vision. We want to build something, train, or we want to hear something, and or we face some type of storm. So we have something that we are going to face. These men possess two different characters. Jesus calls the first man a wise man, and he calls the second man a foolish man. One is viewed as wise, a wise man who wants to build something, a wise man who gets spiritual training, and a wise man in the storm. The other man is a foolish man who wants to build something. Okay? A foolish man who exposes himself to divine truth, but when the storm comes, you can see the issue and the problem of what happened to who's listening and who's not listening. Wisdom, listen to this. Wisdom in scripture is the ability to take divine truth and apply it to life. Now, the fool in the scripture is not necessarily the person who lacks information. He's got the information. It is the person who does little or nothing with the information that they receive. As you know, there are many fools who hear but do not respond. So these two men were fundamentally different. They both had dreams. They both had training. They both had storms. On the outside, they would have looked the same, but in the description given by the Lord, it says they were fundamentally different men. What demonstrated the difference between these two men? Well, very simple. It's all about the foundation. It says that the wise man built his house upon a rock. And it says the foolish man built his house upon a sand. Both men had the same vision, the same dream, the same training, and the same storm. They did not have the same foundation. What was the difference? Well, if you look in Luke chapter 6 and verse 48, it says, he is like a man which built a house and dig deep and laid a foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat firmly up against the house and could not shake it because it was founded upon a rock. So in other words, the wise man dug deep. I'm working downtown in St. Louis. They're building the new apartments for the in Ballpark Village. For the Cardinals. And I'm seeing these big, big industrial equipment. And I'm talking about they had a tool. They went down deep. How deep? I'm talking about it was the tool was taller than the parking garage that I'm parking in. And they went all the way down in the ground. And then they brought it all the way back up. Now, some of y'all may say, how you have time to look at that, Pastor? We're supposed to be at work. See, that's where people's mind goes. You see what I'm saying? Instead of listening to what I'm trying to teach them today, they want to know, was I on break or not? I mean, that's just where people go. Their mind just drift over into that area. Well, how are you looking at the out the window, Pastor, when you should have been working? I was on break. Now, this guy dug deep. You can build on sand fairly cheap. To build on rock is hard work. To build on sand takes little or no effort. That's what people like in these day and age. They like accommodations. They like for things to be relatively easy for us. That's why they like these prosperity teachings. Y'all follow what I'm saying? They want somebody that's going to tickle their ears and make them feel good. You know, there's a lot of people say, I ain't getting nothing out of service. Well, did you put anything in? The question is, no, you didn't. That's like going to the gas station. I didn't get no gas. Why? Because you didn't what? There you go. Whose fault is that? You pulling up to a service station and you still on empty. That ain't my fault. The gas is there. You understand what I'm saying? The gas is there. If you drive off empty, whose fault is that? Everybody else is getting gas. It's what you put into it. You don't put nothing in, you don't get nothing out. Now, the man who built his house on the sand, he did a lot of things right. Did a lot of things right. For instance, he was evidently diligent and energetic, a hard worker. He put some time into it. Keep this in mind. Listen to what I'm telling you. Be very careful with what I'm saying to you. Everything looks good, but it don't mean it's good. See, it's not easy to just put up a house, especially back in those days. I mean, he didn't have a Menards to run to. He didn't have a Lowe's. Y'all better understand what I'm telling you. He had to do some things. You know what I'm saying? Some builders, they can go to Menards or to some of these places, and they can tell them the square footage that they're going to build on, and they can tell them how much material they're going to use. Okay, so listen to what I'm telling you. This guy didn't have that. So obviously, he did some things right. Okay? Listen to what I'm saying. He did some things right. So, what I'm saying is, it's not easy to do all those things. So he had to carry stones, he had to cut wood, he had to form bricks out of clay. He had to do all that. And it may have took him some time, but he did it. He didn't quit. He persevered until the structure, what, was complete. In the end, all of his hard work was for nothing. All of that hard work, in the end, was for nothing. It's like a lot of us busybodies doing all that. Only what you do for Christ will last. So all that stuff you're doing, it ain't gonna last. The Bible even says there shall not be one stone left on top of another. What does that mean? It's coming down. That's scripture. You don't believe me? Look it up. Here's my point with we often confuse activity with godliness. We assume that if someone is hardworking and energetic, they must be a sincere Christian. They must be close to God if they're doing so much for the Lord. And so we make ministry involvement the mark of spirituality. But that's a mistake, because all of that activity and service, listen to what I'm saying, and service may be built upon a foundation of sand. They could be doing all of those things for all the wrong reasons. It may not be for obvious, but those are the reasons. Just as it may not be for the right kind of foundation that's underneath the house. But in the end, the truth, the motivation will become apparent. Consider also that the house built on the sand was a good, solid structure. Notice I said structure. It was built on sand, but it had a good structure. Had a good structure, at least to the eye of appearance. It didn't fall down right away. It wasn't obviously defected. As long as the weather was good, it was perfectly adequate. It wasn't until the heavy rains came that it collapsed. But when the sun was shining, man, that house was looking good. I'm going somewhere with that too. Listen to what I'm telling you. I highlighted this because just as this man's diligence was no sign he was doing the right thing, neither was it apparent that of his success of his labors. So he managed to accomplish something which looked impressive and worthwhile. But that didn't mean that he was in good shape. Because underneath it all, just waiting for the real storm to come, was that hidden weakness, that lack of true foundation. See, it is possible to accomplish a great deal in this world without Christ. What I mean by that? Well, you can build a business or a career. You can make money. You can have a reasonable good marriage. You can develop a wide circle of friends. You can do good things, give money to charity, coach a little league, be a big brother, do all of those good things. You can do all those good things. You can have a good time and enjoy life. You can do many big, important, impressive, and admirable things. But eventually a storm will come which will bring it all down. You can look at it this way. The second man, the foolish man, was building a house for show. Because that's really was all it was good for to look, is just to look at it. But obviously it wasn't safe to live in. The man building his house on the rock was building a house to last. The second man was concerned about how long the house would be there. He just wanted to make sure for however long it was there, people would want to drive by and look at it. It was for, in other words, public show. Y'all follow me? Some people are just for public show. Come to church. Not really in church. But just here for show. Y'all understand what I'm saying? I'm just going to say what I got to say. This ain't Ronnie. This is the preacher. This word of God. Some people come to church to get a woman. The men, I mean, that's just what it is. I ain't like that's something new. That's not a news flash, y'all. Some men come to church to get a woman. They figure, hey, if a woman is in church, she gotta be good. Y'all better understand what I'm trying to tell y'all. They'll come here. Be a wolf in sheep clothing. Coming to pray after one of God's sheep. It's vice versa. It could be the other way around. This is what things do. This is what people do. Look at. I want to show you all a picture. Put this picture up here. It's the picture of the Tower of Pisa. Y'all see that? Y'all know why it's leaning? See, when I was growing up, I didn't really watch a lot of cartoons, but the cartoon that I did watch, I thought because a plane went by and it just made it lean that way. I mean, I did. I mean, I was a kid. That's what I thought. But, I mean, that's not true. But you see how this tower is leaning? There's a reason why it's leaning. It's leaning because it wasn't built on a good foundation. You see what I'm saying? There's really nothing to do in that country but to watch this tower. I mean, I'm serious. There's really, I mean, nothing. And you see all the people? They're watching this tower. You know, I tried to figure out, okay, at first I was really trying to deal, okay, why is it, as I got older, why was it bad? Why was it leaning? Was it the furniture all on one side of the building? Or was it the poor workmanship? Or was it the, I don't know. I mean, I'm just trying to understand what was the problem. The problem was the sandy soil which the city of Pisa was built was just so unstable. Okay, so and I did some research on it, and it says in 1173, when construction began, it was built on soft ground. So it began to lean by the time its builders got to the third story in 1178. So the shifting soil had destabilized the tower's foundation. It did not have the proper foundation. And because it did not have the proper foundation, it was not able to remain stable. So it was built on the wrong foundation. The only thing, again, that is good for this is for show. It's for tourist attraction. Is there a second picture? Is there a second picture? Okay. Now, y'all say, well, it looks like it's leaning a different way, right? Well, I did some more research. See, it started to shift in a different direction. See, that's the way some of these religions are. Because the foundation is not stable, it'll start to shift in any direction depending on what the world wants. Y'all follow what I'm saying? Believe it or not, I don't care. Check me. Do your research on that. It started shifting in a different direction. Because the foundation wasn't stable, and the foundation start to give in another direction. So that building is going to have to go in another direction. So you understand what I'm saying? Please check me. I'm just trying to get you to understand if you do your facts. What I'm trying to get you to understand about religion is that most of these religions are carnal. In other words, they have a kernel of truth in it. And see, it's not going to be easy to discern it right away. I mean, some of it is going to, I mean, I'll tell you, it's going to be so small. In other words, there's some truth in there, but you got to search for it. You follow what I'm saying? You shouldn't have to do all that. It should be able to just pop right off to you. You understand what I'm saying? So therefore, because this foundation wasn't stable, the building began to shift in a different direction. It wasn't built on a solid foundation. This is the way some of our lives are, depending on which way, I don't know, the ground is, or which way the wind is blowing. You have to have a stable foundation. I mean, I could just hear my grandfather preaching on this. He's always talked about foundation. He said he wasn't so much concerned about the structure. He was wanted to know, well, is the foundation right? Because he said, if the foundation right, he said, we can build. But he said, if that foundation is bad, he said, you can forget it. You're done. A life, a home, a ministry that is not properly founded on the right foundation is basically just like this, a tourist attraction. You just something to look at. That's about it. So it is with, you know, preaching. If you're not preaching, if these ministries, listen to what I'm telling you, if these ministries, the church, if they're not teaching that Jesus Christ rose from the dead and is now sitting on the right hand of the Father, if they're not teaching that, as I said Wednesday, they're a mile wide and an inch deep. Nothing. So, in other words, what I'm saying, you shouldn't be going to a church to hear prosperity preaching. You need to go to hear the word of God. Because not everybody is going to teach you. Not everybody is concerned about your soul. Listen to what I'm telling you. You got wolves out there in sheep clothing that are trying to, let me tell you something. Just as God wants your soul, so does the devil. He is out to get you. Sometimes, growing up, I used to be like, hey, Mom, can I do this? Mom, can I do this? My mother would be like, you're not ready yet. And I would get mad and frustrated because I couldn't understand why she's saying I'm not ready. There's a reason why a parent would say you're not ready, because that parent been where you trying to go and is trying to tell your hard-headed self, don't do it. But you got some Nathaniel Thomas out there that's just got to see it in order to believe it. It's going to cost you your life. There's times where God would say, hey, I'm going to take my hand off of it. And then God would allow you to see this. When something happened to somebody else, that's God saying, see, I didn't told them. They didn't listen. Now, if you choose to do it, God is basically saying, see, that stuff, that'll get you killed if you keep doing it. I had a prophet to say to me that she told this man to stop doing what he's doing. She said she told him so many times. She even told him that if you keep doing this, you will be dead. Y'all know this man is no longer living now? He refused to hear what God is saying? A prophet is coming to warn you. We have choices. We can listen or we cannot listen. This is basically what is going on here. There was a choice. One listened. They heard it. They both read. They both were listening, but there's only one that applied it. The biggest difference of these men is the results. Is their results. Because it says one house stood and another house fell. Not only did it fall, it fell greatly. In other words, it was a total collapse. What does the Lord want us to learn? If you were to drive by both men's homes, you would not discover there was a difference. Some things you're not going to discover right away that there's a difference. I prove it to you. On the job. There are some people that are planning for retirement, and there are the other people that's just working. How would you know that? You ain't going to know it by just going to the job and just looking. You follow what I'm saying? You ain't going to be able to tell that. Not just by looking at folks. All you see is people coming in on time. You see people working. You see people doing their jobs. But underneath that working, somebody's got a good foundation. And somebody don't. What I mean by that is, well, you'll find out when it's time to retire. Because somebody's going to say, I'm putting in my notice. I'm done. I'm out of here. I'm putting in my retirement. I'm done. See ya. Now, another person, same age, same number of years. They can't put in their retirement. They have nothing to retire off of. Why? Because of the foundation. What am I saying? It's not that they didn't hear it. It's that you didn't apply it. Retirement people come on the jobs all the time to tell you about retirement, what you need to be doing. The question is, are we going to apply it? Y'all follow what I'm saying? That's the difference. Don't hate me because I've applied God's teaching to my life. Do not hate me because you didn't. Nobody's trying to beat anybody up. We're just trying to preach God's word. That's it. And if it hits you, then say to yourself, it ain't gonna hit me the next time. It comes back. The only time you would discover a difference between these men is when that storm came. Because as long as the sun is shining like right now, it's good weather outside, right? It feels real good. But let a storm come. You'll find out what you're made of. Let me say it this way. Let's talk about, we're talking about a house. Let's talk about personal, your life. Okay, let's say your life. What are you made of when things are bad, when things come into your life? What are you made out of? When a storm comes into your life, let me just say this. Are you a person that's going to start cussing? Are you a person that's going to say, hey, man, I'm going to tell you like this. I'm just God going to help me get through this. And you start drinking it away? That bottle ain't going to help you, not that liquor. That ain't going to help you. I can tell you what it's going to do to you. It certainly ain't going to move you closer to Christ. It's going to move you further away from him. It's going to probably, matter of fact, you ain't going to be able to control yourself. Probably ain't going to be able to control your bodily functions. Okay? So what I'm saying is we have to understand what foundation are we resting on? What are you resting on when you get in trouble? What is holding you up? I had some friends in Chicago. They were, I'm going to tell you, they said some sarcastic remarks to us that are working in the southern part of the state. And so some of them were saying, you know, they was talking about us really bad. And I don't like to have a smart mouth, y'all. I don't, believe me. I try to keep that because I'll say something and I have to go back and apologize. So I try to keep my mouth shut as much as possible, and it's hard. So, but my coworkers, they kept coming down on us from Chicago. They kept saying, you know, we on top of y'all. Y'all this and that. Y'all this and that. They were just really going in, talking about some Chicago this, Chicago that. And I said, I love Chicago. I said, I love Chicago. But I said, I want you to know something. You need to look down because what you're looking down on is holding you up. And they was like, and they was just like this. It was silence. That was fun that we had, and they was like, all right, you got us, man, you got us. We were just having fun. But my point was, I was trying to say, we have to be careful in how we look down on people. We have to be careful in how we are approaching people. See, as long as the sun is shining, you won't think about what you are built on. You may not even care what you're built on as long as the sun is shining. But the storm has a way of letting you know what kind of foundation you are on. And it will let you know what kind of language you're going to use too. Are you going to use the language to praise God? Or are you going to use the language to curse God? That's what they tried to get Job to do. Just curse God and die. Go ahead, man. Curse him and die. Come on. Say a few curse words, Joe. No, you got it in. You ain't that holy. Say a few. Come on, man. Y'all know how they do it. Oh, come on, Ronnie, man. You can say it, man. I know you got it in you. I know you just hurt yourself, man. Come on, cuss. Y'all know they do that. Once they find out who you are on the job, they go in on you. They want you to do it. They're like, come on, man. Be one of us. Say it. Come on, cuss. And I just shake my head and keep going. Preachers have it hard, y'all. Not saying that you all don't, but just making some humor of this. Whenever you have rain, floods, all of this that was coming, I want y'all to understand something. That forecast, that was a hurricane. Listen to all that I described, or that's in this few verses. That wasn't just a sprinkle. Okay? That wasn't just a sprinkle, y'all. That wasn't just, you know, some heavy rain. That was a hurricane. We talking about rain, wind, flood? Isn't that the same thing that a hurricane brings? Okay? And what did it do? You see houses, what? Floating. This is what I'm trying to get you all to understand something. The Lord is trying to see what type of foundation you're on. Jesus was a carpenter. When he lived on the earth, Jesus was involved and he was building and making things. But I'm going to tell you this. The Bible says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord build the house. We need to understand something. It is God who is building. Now, let me let you look at something in Mark chapter 4. In Mark chapter 4, it says, "And the same day, when the evening was come, he said unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm." Now, where Jesus tells the disciples, "Let us go over to the other side," Jesus lay down in the boat and he went to sleep. The boat was filling with water. They were in jeopardy. They were in a storm. And Jesus was asleep. What good is having a God when he's asleep? Amen? I mean, come on, you can say amen. I mean, he was laying there asleep. He was sleeping on a pillow. Y'all understand that? He was sleeping on a pillow. So, and what I'm trying to get y'all to understand, we just look at it and said, okay, he was sleeping on a pillow. No. Jesus went in that boat with the intentions of going to sleep. Y'all follow what I'm saying? I'm going to tell you something. When I grab my pillow, I have the intentions on going to sleep. Y'all follow what I'm saying? He had the intentions on going to sleep. There's a reason why he had the intentions on going to sleep. Because his word said, I'll see you on the other side. So was he concerned about the storm? No, because his word says, I'll see you on the other side. So basically he was saying, my word is going to get you over to the other side. So was he concerned about the storm? Not if he go and get a pillow. He ain't too concerned about that storm. He goes and get a pillow, and the boat is filling up with water, and he gets up calm. You know, when you wake some people up, what? y'all ever been that way? What is it? Oh, you just let me sleep. Y'all know how it is? Think about it for a moment. Jesus got a pillow. He in it, man. He is asleep. And you just, where you went, Jesus could have got up. What? He didn't. He got up and said a few words and said, peace, be still. He said with an attitude. He got, look here, chill out. He didn't do that. He got up and said, peace, be still. He spoke to it. Y'all follow what I'm saying? He spoke to the problem. Told it, in other words, calm down. Y'all follow what I'm saying? See, sometimes people be up here. And if you stay here, there's a gentleman on our job. I've never heard this man raise his voice. I mean, it was some hostile meetings, and I've never heard this man raise his voice. This man, people are yelling at him, yelling. I mean, they going in on this man. This man is right here. And next thing you know, everybody that was up here, he brought their whole entire room down to him. And he said, I'm going to teach you something. What I'm trying to tell you, I mean, I'm talking about it was bad. I'm talking about cussing bad. Unprofessional bad. In that room. This gentleman. And I say gentleman because he is a true gentleman. Everybody raising it with all these big wigs. And this guy on our team, this man, still small voice, never elevated his voice, not one single time. And he had all these people coming at him, and he stayed even keeled. And I thought about that for a moment, because I thought about how people came at Jesus, and Jesus stayed even keeled. That takes a lot of power. Because sometimes, man, don't you want to go there with people sometimes? I mean, that's just, when people bring it to you, you want to take it back to them. Y'all follow what I'm saying? You want to give me attitude, or I give it back. But what I'm trying to get you to see, how Jesus, understand what Jesus said to them. I'll see you on the other side. What I'm trying to get you to understand, when God tells us something, we have to take what God has said to us and let it apply to us, okay? And we have to apply it to our lives. If God said it in his word that this is what you're going to do, trust me, you're going to do it. Now, for some of you that are hard-headed, it may take you a minute, but when you get done running around like Jonah, you're going to come back to what God said do. You want to know why? Because his word said it, and it won't return to him void. So his disciples, they didn't really have a reason to fear, because God had already given them the word that we're going to make it to the other side. This is what we need to learn, and this is what we need to apply to our lives. If God said it, then that settles it. We shouldn't be concerned so much of what somebody else said. That's where our problem comes. It's because when God says something to us, we don't believe it, and then we try to challenge it. And then by us challenging it, what do? We go and tell other people what God has said. Now, that person is basically going to say, oh, that don't make sense to me. I don't think you really heard God. I think you're listening to yourself. Y'all follow what I'm saying? So now you start getting other people's opinion on what God has told you. Imagine if Noah had to listen to the people in his day. You get ready to build a what? Man, there ain't never rain. And you get ready to do what? Out here? It ain't never rain, Noah. What's the problem? Imagine if he had to listen. Y'all understand what I'm saying here? You need to understand that what God tells you, it's going to happen. I don't care the people, Peter and them in a boat. We're getting ready to drown. That's why, you know, you can be so easily, upset and mad, because when you're thinking that, oh, my life, well, we're getting ready to drown. Storm has a way of causing you to forget what God has said. You follow what I'm saying? This storm got them all messed up. God had already told them what's going to happen, but because when a storm comes, we forget what God said. Let me tell you something. Let me give you a good example. When I was, this was back in 2000, and I went to Fairview Heights, went to the mall. And I'm in there, man. I'm in there minding my own business and trying to get a card, you know, and to send. And next thing you know, I'm surrounded by security guards and surrounded by the police. And I'm reading this card, and it says, put your hands behind your back. I'm still reading this card. I ain't think they talking to me. I'm still reading this card. It said, you heard me, put your hands behind your back. And I look up, and I'm like, oh, man. I said, what's going on here? And my point is, what I'm trying to say, now, did I panic? No, I did not. Did I act a fool? No, I did not. All that is the same. Now, my point is, I remain calmed. You want to know why I remain calm? Because, number one, I was a believer in Christ. I knew my daddy was looking. I knew that I was going to get out of this one way or the other. And I knew that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. I'm just a fool to believe that. So I complied, put my hands behind my back. They walked me through the mall, took me and questioned me and said all these things to me. And I had no idea what they were talking about. And they said, we got people that can point you at the scene. And I'm sitting there going like, I just came from a game. I mean, and so I'm being harassed. And the police officer says, shut up. I'm like, man, I'm not even raising my voice and you telling me to shut up. And you asking me to speak. And then on top of that, you're telling me to shut up. What do you want? You want me to talk or you want me to shut up? I mean, come on now. But think about it. I remain calm. Now, I could have acted a fool. And next thing you know, that's what they want you to do. So they can have a reason of putting you on the ground, tasing you, or shooting you, saying that you are a threat to them. No, I remain calm. I was a little shook up, but I was remained calm. And then the guy, you know, finally, here's the thing that really got me. When they took me to this guy looked at me, and the guy looked at the police officer and said, is this the guy? They said, who is that? They said, this the guy that stole the merchandise? He said, man, I don't know who that guy is you got there. And he was like, but this is the guy up there. He said, man, the guy that did it is 6 feet tall, 200 and some pounds. That guy is not 6 feet tall and 200 and some pounds. And the cop looked at me and I looked at him. And he was like, you got the wrong man. You got an innocent man there. Then the cop, embarrassed. But the cop, how did you get here? I drove. You don't have keys in your car, I'm going to arrest you. For what? For lying. My keys are in my pocket. He went in and got my keys. And then once he gave me, you know, he said, okay, you're free to go. He uncuffed me. He said, you're free to go. And I looked at him. I said, can I say something to you, officer? I said, you just embarrassed me through this whole mall. I can go back with you. I said, sir, ain't nothing you can do that's going to fix this. I said, I'm going to tell you this right now. I said, there's nothing you can do that's going to fix what you just did. I said, you didn't do this properly. I'm not even a police officer, and I know that the way that this was done wasn't done the proper way. And the way that you handled this was not done the right way. I didn't go to the police academy, but I know that that is not the way you do things. And so the guy was like, oh, I'm really sorry, man. I said, sorry for what? That you didn't get your suspect? That I'm found innocent? What? What are you sorry for? Then I said, you know what? I said, I'll tell you what. You have a nice day, because I know I will. So I left. My point in what I'm trying to say to you all, I still remember God's teaching. And not only that teaching, listen to this. I had a good foundation of teaching from my parents. From my family, they always taught us, don't go nowhere and act a fool. Y'all follow what I'm saying? I had some good foundational teaching from my family and how to conduct myself in situations like that. See, only in a hurricane will you discover whether you're where you will be tested and what type of foundation you're resting on. A lot of us are not resting on a good foundation. Yeah, we may look the part, we may act the part, but the foundation is not the part. You follow what I'm saying? I mean, it looks good from a structural standpoint, but underneath the foundation is shaky. In other words, it's like that leaning tower. Depending on which way the saw gives, is the direction of where you're going to fall. Y'all follow me? So if you got a strong, stable foundation, regardless what comes, you still will remain the same. You ask me a question about the Word of God, I'll tell you what the Word of God says. I'm not coming up off of it. Why? Because it's the Word of God. Now, I don't care I could say what this one minister said to me as I get ready to close. I asked this minister a question, and he was challenging me, but I asked him this one question. I said, what would you do if you were in my position?
because he was trying to be a smart aleck. Then you know what he said to me? This is his response. I would twist it. Y'all listen to what I'm telling you? That's why you got to be careful in who you're going underneath. He said, I will twist it. Twist what? He said, I'll twist the gospel to accommodate what he wants. He was bold in saying that. But yet, the same minister was challenging me on the very subject to justify his means. But when I questioned him and said, what would you do if you was in my position? He immediately said, I would twist it. He was bold enough to say that, and I believe he's bold enough to do it. See, this is why we got to be careful and run into this ministry and this ministry over here, because everybody's not teaching Christ. If my grandfather taught me, he said, keep Jesus in your message. Keep Jesus in your message. Notice, when you listen to a lot of ministers, you don't hear people talk about Jesus, do you? Or better yet, do you hear them talk about the devil? No, but you hear them talking about prosperity. Listen to what I'm telling you. There is a devil. He's real. This mental health, this behavioral health, that's demonic. You can't medicate that. You got to cast that stuff out. That's a demon. All you're doing is sedating the body. But the spirit that's in it is still there. And not only that, if it finds out that the body is asleep, it's going to get up and go to somebody that's walking. It's got that much sense. Why you think all of these behavioral health buildings are coming up? All these mental health providers are now being populated because we're not casting out. We're sedating it. Oh, we're going to give it some medication, hit it hard. And then some of these people are so high on these drugs, a lot of the medication you give them ain't strong enough to knock them out. What I'm trying to get you to understand here, there is a real devil and there is a real God. There's two illustrations that was given to us today, a wise man and a fool. Because God is basically saying there's two ways. There's a right way and there is a wrong way. There is no, I'm sorry, world, there is no in between. Even God said, you're either hot or cold. There's no lukewarm. With God, he only deals with one or two. You're either for him or you against him. It's just that simple. He didn't give you another analogy of this. He gave you two. One wise, one a fool. One built on a rock, one built on the sand. One stood, one fell. He was telling you, one is going to stand and one is going to fall. It's just that simple. He said, those who build on the rock, and Jesus was saying, I'm the rock. He's saying, if you build it on me, you shall not fall. But he said, if all others are seeking sand, he said, if you build it on that sand, you're going to fall. So he says, on Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other grounds are sinking. He's trying to tell you that other religion, it ain't got enough substance in it to keep you. It's not going to hold you. In other words, what he's saying, that's like eating junk food. Yeah, you're putting something in your mouth, but man, it ain't got no substance. It ain't got nothing that's going to hold you over, nothing that's going to get your body in the proper fitness that it needs to be in. All it's going to do is keep you craving for some more. In other words, your body is really going to be asking for the right stuff to be put in it. But see, when you get that real food, that real substance that's down in you, man, your body would be healthy. Your body would be able to do the things that it was designed to do. Right. Listen to what I'm telling you. He's telling you that there is only one or two ways. There's my way, and then there's the devil's way. Right. Which way are you going to choose? Right. You're either going to be for Christ or you're going to be against him. Let me tell you something. not making a decision is making a decision. You're basically saying that you're not. You got to speak it. You got to say it. Just like when married couples come to, when people come together and want to get married, you got to say, I do. You got to say, I will. If that person does not say it, I cannot proceed. I got to hear an open confession. If I don't hear an open confession, I'm saying, well, my work here is done. It was like, what? We got a wedding to do. No, you don't. Not until that person says. Y'all follow me? This is good teaching. I'm telling you. This is same with the Lord. The Lord said, I need to hear you. I need to hear you say you want me to be your Savior. I need to hear you to say, you know, that's like a lifeguard. If you're drowning, they got to hear help. Because if they don't hear help, they'll just sit there. They think you're playing. They think you're just doing your little routine. But they got to hear it in order to save you. Jesus got to hear it. You want him to be your Savior? Then say it. Say, Lord, I accept you as my personal Savior. Lord, I need you here and now. Lord, walk with me. You got to speak it. You can't just say, well, the Lord knows my heart. Yes, he does. I got something for that. He saw a man's heart that it was wicked. That's what God's got to say about your heart. So stop saying God knows my heart. Yeah, he does. He said, and God saw man's heart that it was still wicked. So let me say this to you. What foundation are you building on? Is it a true foundation? Or is it like that Leaning Tower of Pisa? Is it going to shift when the ground shifts? Or will that foundation be stable, built on a rock? That rock is Jesus.